This is the Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is part of our episode, In Short Supply. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Imagine your kid is in the middle of a mental health crisis. You're trying to get help urgently. So you get on the phone and you call and you call and you call and you simply cannot get an appointment. A group of Harvard doctors did an experiment kind of like that a few years ago. They posed as the parents of a 12-year-old with depression. They reached out to hundreds of child psychiatrists across the country, and only a few had openings, and the average wait time was nearly a month and a half. There's a serious shortage of child psychiatrists, and Alana Gordon brings us the story of how we got there and how some are trying to find creative workarounds to this problem.
Andy Fu walks through the psychiatric wing of the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia for a lunchtime discussion with fellow doctors in training.
I think part of my motivation to go into child psychiatry is like I was such a weird kid. Like I was like comic book reading, anime drawing, like weird.
Actually, Andy's badge even shows her comic book reading roots. Her lanyard has Dr. Harley Quinn on it. That's the infamous partner to that all-time villain, the Joker.
Because she's like the most famous psychiatrist that kids know.
Oh, do kids react to it?
Yes. Their parents have no idea what it is.
Andy just completed her residency training in child psychiatry. She's part of the new generation, a small one, of adolescent and child psychiatrists entering this very strained workforce. Still, choosing this specialty was a no-brainer for Andy. She says growing up is such a vulnerable, critical time.
I'm surprised anybody survives. And I think putting yourself in position to kind of help kids through that and put them in the best possible place so that they can, you know, live the life they want to live and be happy. I think that's a great thing to spend my time doing. And I hope that other people would too.
But the thing is, a lot of other people don't want to do it. And that's been going on for a long time. Donna Shalala called it in a press conference almost 20 years ago.
We believe it's a public health crisis.
At that time, Shalala was the Health and Human Services Secretary in the Bill Clinton administration. She outlined the crisis in a groundbreaking report. It described a dearth of child psychiatrists to treat a growing number of kids with debilitating mental illnesses like depression, anxiety disorder, ADD. 2 decades later,
the situation then was distressingly similar to what it is now.
That's Dr. Gregory Fritz. He chaired a task force following the Shalala report to come up with solutions. But
actually, all our work hasn't made much of a dent.
He says from the get-go, the odds were stacked against them. Training for child psychiatry is longer than other specialties, and the salaries are lower. So spend more and then earn less. That's just a hard sell. Gregory is still banging his head against the wall to come up with solutions, all the while juggling his own backlogged practice.
And it feels terrible to tell somebody who's in crisis that we can see your child in a month. Who wants to do that? That's horrible.
This all sounds familiar to Dr. Tammy Benton. She's the chief of psychiatry at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Right now, she has 16 child psychiatrists in training. It's not going to be anywhere near enough.
The average age of a child psychiatrist is about 55, so the workforce is aging, but the number of people coming in to replace them is not increasing very rapidly.
Tammy says first, there just aren't enough slots to train the child psychiatrists we need. But even with that number,
there's more slots than there are people to fill them.
She says med students don't get much exposure to psychiatry, and it's just not a popular specialty. And that means pediatricians, like Dr. Stephen Shapiro, are having to fill a very big void.
Hello. It's nice to see your smiley face for a change.
Yes.
That's good.
Stephen has a practice in the suburbs of Philadelphia, and on a recent afternoon, he meets with a patient he's known since she was born. She's in high school now, but her life took a dark turn this winter.
How long have we been seeing each other for this? When did you first start coming to me?
I think December.
In December.
At the time, she was crippled by severe anxiety. She didn't want to see friends anymore or go out at all. She fell behind in school. Here in this practice, Stephen sees mental health concerns surface a lot. He screens for it, too.
You feel well?
Yeah.
Sleeping okay?
Better than I was, yes.
Much better than you were.
Yeah.
Whether or not pediatricians are trained in mental health, they're being forced to respond. At the same time, the stigma of mental illness is decreasing, and more patients are coming to them asking for help.
The biggest challenge that I have faced in my recent career has been to learn about how to deal with these kinds of emotional, social, anxiety-related disorders. There's a lot of docs that haven't learned about these things.
And that can be a problem. Training to be a child psychiatrist takes a long time for a reason. This is a complicated field. And without that training, pediatricians are at a disadvantage when it comes to diagnosing and treating mental illnesses. And that treatment can include powerful medicines on a child's developing brain. Stephen says traditional pediatric training never included much about mental health. He's had to learn on his own about drugs and other treatments for conditions like depression and anxiety. And taking on mental health is time-consuming. These are longer conversations.
Here's the reality. This visit costs me a lot of time, 15, 20, 25 minutes. I don't get paid for this visit any more than I do for seeing a child with an earache. As a matter of fact, if I see more kids with earaches, I'll make more money than I do for seeing this young adult and helping to understand her situation. That's the problem with behavioral health.
And when kids have more complicated problems or multiple ones, which happens, Stephen needs help. He knows he has limitations in what he can do. But again, that specialized help isn't easy to find.
The referral path is convoluted and complicated and is based on individual relationships.
So Stephen is working with a group of pediatricians across the region on a different model of care that's been gaining traction lately. The idea is to better integrate mental health services into pediatric practices. Stephen hopes once their group launches, they'll have a psychiatrist available within their network of pediatricians throughout the area.
If I could have somebody here, that to me is the essence of what we need.
The Affordable Care Act paved the way for this approach with new reimbursement options. And more than 24 states have been experimenting with another way to help ease the pressure. It's a virtual support system for pediatricians. When they hit a situation they can't handle or are unsure about, they can dial up a number and get guidance from a child psychiatrist. It's called TIPS in Pennsylvania, and Dr. Evelyn Reese, a pediatrician in Pittsburgh, loves it.
Oh my heavens. I joke sometimes that I have TIPS on speed dial, but that's not really a joke.
Evelyn says this system of virtual handholding gives her the backup she needs to make good decisions.
I'm comfortable prescribing medicines that are new to my prescribing practice if I have the backup of a psychiatrist, especially someone that I can call on the phone anytime I need them and know that they'll be there for me.
These approaches are offering backup to pediatricians on the front line. But their success depends on actually finding a psychiatrist to work with. And that's the big problem. Again, not enough medical residents are choosing child psychiatry.
Yes, there's a giant shortage that seems to be getting bigger.
Andy Fu, that new child psychiatry graduate, is one of the few exceptions.
How do you feel going into that?
Personally, I feel great because I feel like I'm doing what I can to help out. Part of my career trajectory is probably going to include what I can of interacting with medical students and trying to get more of them to go into child psychiatry.
She says yes, the long training and the lower salary will be a deal breaker for some. But she thinks it's more than that. Early intervention in mental illness, like any disease, can make a real difference. But that mental health intervention is not always an easy fix. And doctors like to fix things.
Whereas in psychiatry, you sort of just have to be okay with, I tried my best, I hope that worked. half the time it's not, half the time my patients don't want anything to do with me. And that's extremely uncomfortable, I think, for a lot of non-psychiatry physicians.
She says she's well aware of the challenges of the field, of the shortages and the pressures she's about to step into. But for her, that's all the more reason to jump right in. The success of future generations of young adults depends on it. For The Pulse, I'm Alana Gordon.